Amen. Glory to God. Today we're going to be talking about, as I kind of looked at just before we started praising and worshiping the Lord, we need to understand some things in this day and time that we're living. We need to know that there is a war raging. Amen. You need to know really and truly that there is a fight, and I'm not talking about a fight of the ISIS in the Middle East. I'm not talking about the fights of the governments in the United States as we're approaching an election year. I'm not talking about the fights between black and white folks or peoples or family feuds. That's not the fight that I'm talking about. I need you to know, we need to realize that there is a war raging every day, every moment of every day. And it's not something that we can defend ourselves with armor or with tanks or with enough bulletproof vest. Those things cannot equip you for the battle that's going on. Our battle is spiritual, not physical. It goes on, like I said, every day. You may not hear the sounds of the battle. You may not see the effects of this battle immediately. But nevertheless, it's going on. This war is being waged against you every single moment of every single day. There is a pressure coming against the body and the bride of Christ. Are you willing, and this is the question, are you willing in this day that you were born in to enter into the fight? And that's something I want you to ask yourself throughout this study that we're going to go through today. Are you willing to enter the fight? Let me tell you, people, body of Christ, you're either on one side or the other. You are in the fight with Jesus Christ, with the body of Christ, against the darkness of this present world, or you're on the other side. There is no gray matter in this battle. You are either in light or in darkness. And we're going to be looking at that very pointedly this morning as we search the Scripture for His words. We need to be willing to come up into this fight, willing to stand or be willing to run away from the fight. The time for us to take it is right now. We need to take this fight to the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. This battle is real, and we must live our lives like we really say that we believe. Amen? No longer do we have time for wishy-washy Christianity. This fight, people are dying and going to hell every day because we, the body of Christ, are not doing our part in this battle. We need, especially in these days, I don't know how much time we have left. I've had my ear to the financial scenes around the world, and I tell you, there's something called the Harbinger, and it comes around every so often, September 15th. Keep your eye on that date. Keep your eye on the things that are happening around. We'll talk about this next Sunday a little bit more in depth. But this Sunday, we need to prepare for the spiritual battle that we'll be able to stand in the physical realm. Because if we're not prepared spiritually, there's no way we'll be able to stand when the tide, when the flood of this force comes to us. Amen? So this is what I want to encourage you with today. That the battle's going on and we need to be prepared to either run and die or stand and fight. God, if we stand, God is with us. If we run, we turn our back. It's easier to kill somebody when they're running away from you than if they're standing at you. Amen? And if we look at the armor of God, and as the Lord allows us to, we will look at that today in briefness. But all the armor is for the front of somebody, not for the rear of somebody. Amen? We'll get into that, Lord willing, towards the end of this sermon. And so our faith, we must live like we believe. This war is not for the faint-hearted. Amen? You got to be brave. This is not for the ones who are willing to cower away. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, able and willing to walk into this battle, chest out, head up, hands raised to God, because He is our shield. He is our great reward. He's the one that we must walk into. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 12 and 14. We ain't started preaching yet, so I ain't started praying. Amen. But anyhow, in 5, 12 through 14, it tells us this. For when, by now, that's what when means, for by now, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. Here in Hebrews chapter 5, he's saying that to the church, these Hebrew believers, y'all ought to be willing to fight. Y'all ought to be able to stand up in the battle today. But because you've lost track, you've stopped studying the Word of God as a bunch of believers, you've become weak. And you're in need of milk and not meat. Well, this battle that we're talking about, this spiritual battle, we need meat-fed Christians. Amen? We need some folks who are prepared to take on the battle. And it continues to say in verse 13, for everyone who uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. It's time to move into the deeper things of the word of God. It's time to be prepared for the battle that he's calling us to. We need strong meat in this day and time. We don't need to be unskilled in the word of God of righteousness. You don't need to be a baby anymore. It's time to grow up in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. In verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the time that we're living in today. That's what the body of Christ needs to be understanding today. We need people who are grounded into the Word of God, that know righteousness from unrighteousness, and not believing the lies of the world. We got to come together as a group of believers that are concreted into the Word of God. If you build your house on the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the flood comes in, you will be that standard that's raised up to stand against the impending dangers of the spiritual warfare. We need people who are willing to come into the fight openly, knowing the dangers, professing Jesus Christ, holding on to the Word of God with a fierceness that hasn't been seen in many years. Now is the time. This is the age that we, the body of Christ, must know the God we serve and have faith in Him. We got to start working on our faith here in the body of Christ, here in this time. We got to believe the whole Word of God, amen? Some of y'all may not believe that in 6 days God created how much? Everything. Everything. He created everything. All the planets in the heavens, He created them. The earth itself, He created them. All the animals, all the people of the world at that time, He created them in 6 literal days. Amen? We need to understand that God created marriage. It is His design. And that design says one man, one woman. Amen? Not two men, not two women, not a cat and a dog. One man, one woman. And we're to come together to bring up godly seed, united in Christ. We must have faith in the Word of God. We must believe that God created you as a male or a female. I don't care what the surgeons do to you now. You were born a man. If you die, you will be judged as a man. If you were born a woman, you die, you will be judged as a woman. If the doctor somewhere between life and death changed your outside appearance, your inside appearance is still the same. Do you understand what I'm talking, Bruce Jenner? You're still Bruce Jenner. Okay? I don't care what the media calls you. You were born a man. You will be judged as a man. We need to come to those understandings in the Word of God, that's what God's Word says. And if we hold on to that fully, we'll be able to stand against this onslaught that's coming. We must be prepared for the fight. We must be prepared for the righteousness of God. The fight is for the spiritually mature. It's for those who are fit for strong meat. We need to stand in this war. And the question comes again, are you willing to stand in it? Are you willing to fight for the Word of God in these last days? Are you really, truly willing to stay to say that as a student, I'm going to bring my Bible to school? And I'm going to read it on my lunch hour. You, as a person in the workforce, are you willing to say that I'm going to take time and I'm going to study God's Word on the time? Now, I'm not talking still from your boss, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that when you go to work on your free time, what are you using that time for? Are you hanging around the coffee maker gossiping? Or are you standing for the righteousness of God? Let me tell you, when you do this, the world's going to come against you. You will find yourself in a battle. Amen. Has anyone here ever stood for the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Amen. What happened? You probably lost your job, right? But did God supply you another job? Amen. Did God meet you where you were at? Did He feed you when you did not have money? Amen. You stand for righteousness. He'll take care of you. He will lead you through the darkness and into His light. It's time for us to get off the bottled milk, all right, and enter into the battle. It's time to get off. Stop nursing. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Stop nursing and get ready for the battle. All right, I said all that to come to the Lord in prayer. Let's lift up the Lord to the Lord. Father, even now as we're preparing to enter into your word, Lord Jesus, you said that you were on the outside of the church and you were knocking, asking to come in. And if any man would invite you in, you would come and you would sop with them. Father, I right now, I pray, I seek you out, Father. I ask that you would come into this body right now, that you would fill us with your spirit, that we would understand the truth of your word, that you would give us the courage and the intestinal fortitude to stand in these days for your righteousness. Father, I thank you for that. I pray again for the people that are hearing your word, that you would fill them with righteousness, that they would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips that I could speak only your word. Father, allow me to decrease and allow your word to increase. We thank you and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We are waging a war again, and this requires a couple of things. It requires that we must be steadfast in His Word. We've got to really know the Word of God. We've got to hold on to the righteousness of the Lord. And the second thing that it tells us, before you can enter this fight, you must be born again. Amen. If you're not born again, you cannot enter this fight. And I'm not talking about being religious. I ain't talking come to church. I'm talking about being born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, if you are not born again, you cannot see. That word seed means understand. You cannot understand the Word of God. You can't understand the kingdom. So the first step that we need to get right in this battle has, have you surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? If you haven't trusted Him as your personal Savior, you can't even start to enter this battle. You are on the enemy's side right now, and you're fighting for unrighteousness and not for righteousness. Does that offend you? Get over it. It's the Bible. You're not mad at me. You're mad at the Word of God, because Jesus said that. Curtis didn't say it. I just mimicked what he said. Amen? Right? This isn't my opinion. I didn't set the parameters of this battle. God said it. And He said, you must be born again before you can enter into this battle. You must be born again. Thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think of this, but thinking of the battle and stuff like that, when you join the army or the military, you know, you can't fake that. They give you certain things that make sure that you're in it. They subscribe to you another number than your Social Security number. They give you a certain uniform to wear. Amen. They put you through a boot camp, a basic training, right? They do all those things for you. And they also give you a military ID. And you know, without that military, well, back in the day, without that military ID, you could not enter into post without it. I had a dependence ID. I was part of that crowd. But I could not go to the PX. I couldn't go to the commissary. In fact, I couldn't even get through the front gates of the base without showing my ID. There were guards that were set up. You'd come up to the gate, and they'd say, who are you? You'd tell them your name. They'd say, show me your ID. They'd take your ID. They'd read it. And then look at the picture, and they'd look at you. All right? Until you couldn't even get in the base. Amen? So the same thing with this battle that we're talking about in the spiritual realm. You must be born again. And then the Holy Spirit seals you with His mark. Amen? And so if you're prepared to get into this battle, first understand you must be born again. All right? And then the Holy Spirit will seal you. And then when the battle starts, He'll say, I can use you. I can use you. The Holy Spirit will. I can use you. You're prepared. You're in the fight. You're on God's side. You're not on the world's side. You've made a decision for Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ has made a decision in you. I like that word better, because unless the Holy Spirit moves on a man, he can't be saved. Amen? So it starts out there. And so first, you must be born again. That means you must be blood bought. You must be a Christian, not in name, but in deed. Amen? Do you understand the difference of a Christian by name A lot of people call themselves Christian. You ask 90% of the Americans today, are you a Christian? They'll say yes. And you'll ask them, do you believe in the Word of God? Well, you know, not all of it. Had that discussion with a guy right down the road here just this week, or last week. I said, do you really believe in the whole Word of God? Well, I believe everything except for the creation. I said, then you don't believe in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, the Word. Well, you know, I believe parts of that. I said, then you don't believe it, you don't believe at all. The sad thing is, he's a pastor. You know, no, that'll shock your socks, won't it? Amen? But he is teaching that undoctrinal thing to people and sending them to hell. We, as the body of Christ, got to know Jesus Christ. You got to be born again. I asked him, and he said he didn't know if he was ever born again. I said, why? Pray for those folks. They need prayer. All right? Pray for the people that are that call themselves Christians and are not. Amen? There's a lot of people that speak Christianity with their mouth. In fact, I think it's in Isaiah that the prophet says, God said, your mouth draws near to me, but your heart is far from me. A lot of people talk. They know all the Christian words. A bunch of them can quote Scripture. You know, Satan knows more Bible than you know. He can quote it better than you can, but he's not in Christ. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many great works? He says, I never knew you. Go away. And he cast them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those were people who called themselves Christian but had no right relationship with God. Those were folks who went to church, they did the churchy thing, but they never surrendered to Jesus Christ. They thought they were in the battle, but they were actually undercover agents. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. They were tares among the wheat. Oh, but folks, there's coming a day that God's going to call the wheat to stand. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Let me back up just one second. After you're born again, washed in the blood, absolutely sealed by the Spirit of God, you are now a soldier of Jesus Christ, right? And that if you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, then you must know there's an anti-Christ. There's an anti-force out there. If God is for good, there's someone for evil. Amen? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. There is an evil shepherd out there. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air of this age right now. He is the ruler of the systems of this world today. Right? That's the battle that we need to enter into. And to enter into that, first, like I said, you must be born again. You must be blood-bought. You must be a real Christian. You've got to understand your position in Christ. We must completely trust in God, take Him, His Word as a fact, and then you submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? First, get right with God. Submit to God, and then you can resist the enemy. Without submitting to God, you cannot resist the enemy. He'll take you away. He'll haul you off. You'll think that your unrighteousness is righteous. In fact, like I was about ready to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversity, the devil, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, and he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same affections are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Did you understand what he's saying? That we have an enemy out there. He's the devil. He's going around like a roaring lion, seeking him whom he may devour. He's looking for weaknesses in the body of Christ. You know, this roaring lion, he's not concerned with those who are not born again, because they're already on his side. He ain't worried about if you ain't born again, he ain't fighting against you. In fact, he's supporting you. He's giving you all the wealth, all the comfort. He'll make you feel very comfortable in your world of sin. And you'll feel just warm and fuzzy there. He'll teach about rainbows and unicorns. Amen. He'll preach another gospel, not the gospel, but another gospel. Right? He'll teach you that the Word of God's not the whole Word of God. In fact, that was the very first lie that was ever recorded in the Bible. Did God really say? All right? And that's the lie. He's still out there. He's still around today. He was in the beginning, in the garden, in the very beginning. He's been around for a long time, right? Was that Rolling Stones? Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and fame, right? Y'all remember that song? I'm sorry that it just came to my mind, but it did. But that is the problem. He's been around for a long time. He's seen things. He knows your personality, and he wants to keep you away from the light of Jesus Christ. He wants to keep you bound up in your sin that you can never enter the fight of righteousness with God, that you could never stand against. And see, the problem in the church today, as I see it, is too many Christians are still bound up by Satan. They're not able to enter into the spiritual fight. They believe parts of the Bible, but they don't believe the fullness of the Scripture. Amen? And we got to believe the whole Bible is true. Do you have to understand it? No. You got to believe it. Because I don't understand how God spoke and things happen. I'm a simple man. I don't understand that. But I believe it. Why? Because God said it. You know, it tells us in Hebrews that by faith we understand that the worlds were created. Amen. By the word of God. All right. That's by faith I believe that. That's what makes us able to start this battle. Remembering that the battle is real, that there is an adversary out there. We need to be sober. You understand what that means? Clear thinking. Not thinking the way that the world or the way that schools teach you how to think, but think in the righteousness of God. Because I tell you, the colleges that are out there today, and unfortunately many of the Bible colleges, they are teaching another gospel. They're leading you away from the truth and the righteousness of God into this fake gospel, the one that does that isn't in the Bible. Another way into Christ. Jesus said, there is no other way. I am the door of the sheepfold. Any man trying to get in another way, the same as a thief and a liar. All right? So if you're trying to get into the righteousness of God by your works, you're being led by a thief and a liar. If you're trying to get into the righteousness of Jesus Christ by your baptism, you're being led in by a thief and a liar. It takes Jesus Christ, the one true life, the truth, the life, and the way. No man goes to the Father but through him, through Jesus Christ. Your priest cannot do it. I can't do it for you. Only as the Holy Spirit moves on a man and you put your faith in what the Bible says, then you can enter into the fight. All right? I'm trying to get you into some basic training understandings now. So when you join the military, you get into basic training, what do they teach you how to do first? They cut all of your hair off. They make you dress all the same. Back in the day, it used to be the pickle uniform, right? It was just green. Everybody was green. You all had the same haircut. You all had the same underwear. You all had the same t-shirts. You all had the same boots. You all had the same socks. Took away your identity as an individual and made you work as a unit. We are Jesus' people. There is neither Jew nor Greek here. Amen. We are all in him. If you are born again, you are no longer your own, but you belong to somebody else. You were bought with a great price, the price of Jesus Christ. You're bought by his righteousness and his goodness and his work. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, if you'll turn to there real quick, we wrestle not. Amen. I'll just wait till you get there because I don't want you to think that I'm telling you this in my own accord. Ephesians chapter 6. Flip over there. We're going to be in and out of Ephesians chapter 6 quite a bit this morning. And we'll start just this one verse right here that I want to point out before we really get into it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Say amen. Amen. You there? All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wow. All right. If I'm wrestling not against flesh and blood, I mean, like if me and Joshua, we were wrestling, that's flesh and blood. I could make a defense. He could make a defense. We could make some offensive moves, stuff like that. That's because we can see each other and we can grab a hold of one another. Amen. And we could do that. We could form a plan to fight. But the fight that the Christian must be in is not one against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see what he's saying? I got to fight a fight. Amen? I've got to fight this spiritual fight. And it's not a physical fight that, come on, me and you're going to duke it out, right? Well, it's not one of those. This fight can only be won by three ways. First is being born again. We haven't even gotten to the second and third point yet. But first is born again. You must be born again before you can enter into the fight. Before you can be on the right side of Jesus Christ, the right side of the cross, you've got to be born again. Or if you are not born again, you're an enemy of God. Do you understand that? If you're not born again, then you are already heading for hell and you are already fighting for unrighteousness, not for righteousness. So step one, be born again. Step two, we got to enter into a battlefield of prayer. Amen? Do you understand that we must pray? We must seek the fullness of God in our life. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy real quick. It's a planned rabbit trail, okay? This is a rabbit trail, but it's a planned one. And this guy is George Mueller, and I love George Mueller. I really do. I love what he did. Everybody know about George Mueller? Do you know anything? Let me tell you a little bit about this man. He was back in the 1800s, early 1900s, and he started orphanages. Actually, he was a very wealthy man. He came from wealth. His parents were very wealthy. But he saw the need of the orphans in the streets of Germany and England. And he said, somebody's got to do something about this. I tell you what, I feel the call of God, and I'm going to start doing something. And he started making or building orphanage. He started with a single orphanage, and it grew into the Ashley Down Orphanage. He opened over 117 schools, and he ministered to 120,000 children during his lifetime. Do you see? And he did this with how much money? None. Because his parents disowned him. He left all the wealth of the world because he trusted God. How did he make all these things happen? By prayer and faith. He started this spiritual battle with the powers of wickedness that were getting children orphaned and living in the streets. He saw a need and he felt the call of God and he walked in righteousness. Let me tell you how strong this man's prayer life was. This is just one story. He was on a trip. He was coming to America to preach in 1877. And he was halfway through the journey and this dense fog came in and they could not move the ship any further and they stayed there for days. George came to the captain who had been on the bridge for over 24 hours and he was trying to make headway, the captain was. And George explained that he must go to Quebec by Saturday afternoon to meet his adjoining traveling. He explained to the captain, I have never been late. I have never missed a date. And the captain said, I can't do anything. We are fogged in here. We can't move. If we move, we might run aground. We might hit another ship. We've got to stay here until the fog lifts. And by the weather forecast, it ain't happening any time. George, be prepared. You're going to miss your meeting. George took a deep breath and said, nope. Nope. George explained. He said that, we need to go to the map room and we need to pray. The captain said, I don't really believe in prayer. I don't think it's going to do any good, but I'll take you down to the chart room and I'll satisfy you, George. Come with me. Brought him down to the chart room. George Mueller, simple prayer, doesn't say exactly what he said, but he prayed a simple prayer. And as he got up from praying, the captain started to pray. George stopped the captain. He said, Captain, don't even waste your breath. First of all, you don't believe. And I don't want you to pray for me if you don't believe. You can't enter in this battle because you ain't born again. Amen? You can't enter into this battle because you don't know the God I know. The God I know says that you're not going to be late. The God you know says that you're caught in a fog bank and you can't move. So George just got up and says, you don't need to pray, Captain. One, because you don't believe, and second, God's already answered the prayer. By the time the captain got out of the chart room and up to the upper deck, the fog was gone. Praise God. Let me tell you something about this captain. This was from the captain's own words. This is his story. George Mueller didn't go around telling people this. This is what the captain said about the situation. Later on, that captain was known as Holy Joe in the fishing yards. Okay? Because he saw something. He saw one man that was willing to lay everything about it, everything that he believed on the line. He preached what he lived, and he lived what he preached. Some of the other great men of prayer, Hudson Taylor, he was a missionary to China. Arthur Tappan, he was a missionary to the poor. Arthur Tappan, he believed in missionary work so much, he spoke to the YMCA at one time at its onset, and over 100 men joined the mission field in one day. Glory to God. He prayed. He believed God. He entered it in. Other greats were D.L. Moody. We know of him, a great man of prayer. He entered in the fight. Spurgeon, he prayed. George Whitefield, he prayed. John Wesley was a man of prayer. A.W. Tozer was a man of prayer. And of course, Billy Graham is a man of prayer. You see these men, you see what they did? The first part is they got born again. The second part is they fell on their face before an almighty God. They knew that there was a battle going on around them, and they must pray. They must seek the face of God. George Mueller, he prayed hours every day. Hours. How many hours do you pray? I mean, on your face before. How many hours do you pray? Okay, how many minutes do you pray? How many seconds do you pray? Can you turn off CNN long enough to pray? Amen? Those are simple things, right? George Mueller, in his last days, last few years of his life, he set to read the Bible through four times a year. Four times a year. So he read nothing but the Bible. He did nothing but pray. And as he prayed, 120 young people were saved from the wretches of orphanagism, being orphaned. All right? He prayed. He sought the Lord. He entered into this fight. Oh, people, we are fighting a fight that must be fought. We are fighting a fight that's neither bullets or bombs. It is a fight against the powers and the principalities of this world, of the darkness of this world, this age. And we've got to come to that place. We've got to come to that place in prayer. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, for our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. Who here needs some mighty weaponry? Amen? I need some mighty weaponry. It's time for us to get right with God. The weapons are of our warfare. They are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. How are my weapons mighty? What makes them powerful? It ain't me. It's the Spirit of God. It ain't me. It's God who gives the power. It has so little to do with Curtis Fitz. I do without the power of God in me. The weapon that I must use is the power of God. It's through God. And once we get a hold of that born-again power filled with the Holy Ghost through prayer and studying of the Word of God, then we are able to pull down the strongholds. Amen? Is there not some strongholds in America that needs to be pulled down? Where are you, church? Where are the warriors today? Where are the soldiers today? I'll tell you where we're at. We're too busy watching cable whatever. We're too busy listening to, name a radio station out there that ain't Christian. Anyway, I can't think of one. KMX is the only thing that comes to mind. XXI, yeah. WXXI, that radio station out there. Those rock and roll things that you're listening to. And I know that might offend some of you. I don't care. But I tell you, we got to stop putting poison into our ears. We got to stop the country and western. We got to stop the desperate. I saw a commercial a couple of days ago. It was about a bunch of people trying to live in one house and lie and cheat on each other. What's that called? What, huh? Big Brother. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know what it is. But it's disgusting. We got to stop putting that kind of garbage in our house, in our lives, in our world. How about the kids and the stupid video games that we play? Murder, death, rape, over and over and over again through the video things. We got to stop that, people. We got to start putting righteousness in our lives fully. We got to be in a position that we can pull down those strongholds. It says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations. Amen. How about doing some of that? Holding on to the righteousness of God, casting out the imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Church, we got to get in the battle. Amen. We got to get in the battle. You got to get born again. We got to quit playing Christianity. Amen. How many people here play Christianity? You talk Christianity, but you ain't walking Christianity. We need to walk the fullness of the Word of God. If we're going to be able to fight this battle and win, we must first be born again. We got to pray. We got to study God's Word. Those are the three things that are going to make you successful in this. And doing that, then you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not talking about just getting born again. There comes a power when you are filled again, born baptized. We talked about that last week. Baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Not baptized by John, not baptized as the believer's baptism, but baptized with the power of God. And that only comes through prayer, through supplication, through studying the Word of God, applying that Word in our lives in such a way that we start pulling down these strongholds. And not so much the strongholds of the world, people, the strongholds in your life. Right? You understand what I'm saying? It's the strongholds that is keeping you from walking with God. It's your unbelief that needs to be pulled down. God, He gave us everything. He hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." Do you know what happened when He said, "It is finished"? Then the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and there was a way to enter in from the holy to the most holy of place. Now we can go to the very throne room of God as a body of believers, seeking wisdom, seeking help, dying to ourselves, people. I'm sorry about that on the front row. We got to die to ourselves. We got to start walking and living in the righteousness of God. If we're going to enter into this battle and really start fighting for it, we need to pull down the imaginations in our own mind, the things, and pull down the very high places, anything that is exalting itself against the Lord, the knowledge of God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you have an idol in your house? It is time to kill it. The angel told Gideon, go and tear down the idol of your daddy. Your daddy's idol needs to be tore out of your house. What your parents taught you that was against the Word of God needs to be taken down. You as an individual must believe God and His Word fully, wholly, holding to the righteousness of God, the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity. Who's going to bring it into captivity? You are. You got to have power over your own body. You got to say that. You say, all right, body, I have a choice to watch Desperate Housewives. That's the only thing I can come up with. I don't even know if it's on TV anymore. Or Big Brother, right? That was the other thing. Or Bart Simpson. How about that for ungodliness, okay? SpongeBob. I don't know what you're watching. Batman and Robin. I don't know what you're watching. But those things, whatever you're putting into your life, you got to take it out. And when you take it out, you need to start putting in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus told us that that someone who's been cleansed in their heart and the demon leaves them, they go around, they wander around in dry places for a while, and then they come back because they're tired of running around in the dry places. They come back to where they were cast out, and they find it's all clean. You're morally correct. You're all clean. You're all swept, but it's empty. Amen? The religious people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ are empty. And guess what that demon does? He says, cool, I'm going to go get my buddies. We're going to come back and this guy's going to be seven times worse than what he was. So it's not just getting yourself right, it's getting yourself filled with the Holy Spirit, because your heart becomes empty without God. And if we don't put God in that place, in the throne room of our heart, opening up every closet, every space of our heart, giving it to Him, then evil will come back in and you will be unworthy of the fight. And you won't be able to stand against the day of darkness. Oh man, we need to get involved. We need to get right with God in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 6. And having in readiness. Oh, man. Are we ready? Do you have it in readiness? Because if you think you're going to wait until the fight starts to enter in, then you're already beaten. Amen? If you're a wrestler or you're in the military, you get trained before you enter in, right? They don't just, oh, wow, you signed up today. I'm going to throw you out in the middle of the battlefield. You wrestler out there, you train every day, don't you? Amen. You track people. You ball people. You train every day. Why? Because when you get into the fight, you don't want to be whooped. Amen. Now, Christians, many of us are trying to get into that fight and we haven't trained ourselves. We haven't done the discipline that it takes. We're not praying regular. We're not reading our Bibles regular. And let me tell you why I know that the church in America ain't doing right. We're murdering millions of babies. We're allowing same-sex marriages. Now, I don't have anything against homosexuals. I really don't. I love them just like I love a drunkard and a prostitute. They are made in the likeness and the image of God. I have nothing against them personally. But if you're a straight person and you're living with somebody, I got the same problem with you as I have with a homosexual. Okay? Because you're sinning against God. Amen. That's the only thing I don't like about it. It's not because I say it's right. It's because the Bible, the Word of God says it's wrong. All right? If you're living with somebody you ain't married, stop. You got to bring everything. You got to be in readiness. You need to be in readiness to revenge all discipline. Let me read this chapter, verse 6 again. Let me back up, and I'm going to read the whole thing all at once. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Woohoo! Man, we could talk a month right there. How much is everything? I don't know a lot of Greek. To me, I think it's everything, all, amen? To bring everything, every thought into the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge or to punish all disobedience with when your obedience is filled. Now, the last part of this is huge. How are you going to enter into this fight and punish disobedience? How do you do that? I told you in the last five words, when your obedience is full. When you're doing the right thing, then you can help other people not do the wrong thing. Amen? But it takes the church to enter into this fight. We got to be right. Now, I'm not talking works unto salvation, because we know that we're saved by grace through faith. Amen? That's how you get saved. But now that you're saved, you're in the army now. Act like it. You're a Christian. Act like it. Live like it. Tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Thou, O man of God, flee these things. All right? And you got to go back a little bit to find out what he's fleeing. Mostly it's the love of money and following the unrighteousness things. Thou, O person of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Amen? How are we going to fight this fight? Through righteousness, through godliness, through faith, love, patience, and meekness. He tells us in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, when you flee, desiring to leave the old way of life, you must put on Christ. That thing that I told you a little bit about the demon coming, that's found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. You can go home, read it for yourself. It tells us in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read through this just for the sake of time here. And I'm going to try not to preach it. I'm just going to try to read it, okay? Can y'all bear with me just more? It's hard for me to do that because I'm a preacher. I expound on the Word of God. And so anyhow, Colossians chapter 3. Say amen when you get there. You need to be there because I don't want you to think I'm lying to you. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so I'm going to back up just a little bit. Colossians chapter 3 and starting in, say, verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. So the wrath of God will come unto the disobedient children. Amen. Now the children are those who are born again. Amen. Because you ain't a child of God unless you're born again. Now if you're a disobedient child of God, God will chasten you. No chastening at the present seems pleasant. But at the end it produces good fruit. Amen. I said I wasn't going to do that. See how I cannot not do that? Anyhow. Verse 7, in which you walked in some times when you lived in them, but now ye also put off these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Ooh, no cussing, people. No cussing. Stop the nasty words from coming out. Stop it. All right? Why? Because I want... Lie not to one another. Okay? Seeking that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, glory to God, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or that other word, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels, mercies of kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all of these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. So how are we going to pull down these things when we enter into this battle? First, we got to put on Jesus Christ, amen? We got to know who you are in Jesus. You got to be born again. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in the Word of God. And then you got to keep your body in subjection to the Word of God. Because my flesh wants to lie, amen? My flesh wants to steal. My flesh wants to do bad things. My flesh wants to cuss. I can't tell you how many times I got to pull my tongue out of my mouth and slap myself. Because there's somebody pulls out in front of me in traffic, I do not want to say, God bless you. But because I'm in Christ, that's what I do. I've learned to keep this tongue under control a little bit. We need to cast off the things that stop us from entering to the fight. We need to praise God more. Amen? Don't we need a little bit more praise? We need to start praising God. You know why? It tells us in Psalm 22 and verse 3, God inhabits the praise of Israel, his people. Where's God living at? He's living in your praises. You praise him in the morning, you praise him in the noontime, you praise him in the evening too. Amen? You need to praise God in everything you do. So when you're in the middle of the battle and Satan seems to be winning, you're getting beat up on every side, you have nowhere else to fight, you've prayed, you've read the Word of God, and you're still getting beat up, have you praised him lately? And I will praise you in the storm. Amen? You need to praise him in the storm. Because just because you're a Christian, that don't mean things aren't going to work out. Well, they're not going to work out for your best. They will work out for his best. It doesn't mean you're going to get your way just because you're a Christian. Remember, it's not your way, it's Yahweh that we need to be looking for, amen? We need to be looking for the way of Jesus Christ, not the way of Curtis Fitz or put your name in there. Your way doesn't count. In fact, as I read, we're going through Genesis in the men's group on Tuesday night, I didn't read in there where God asked my opinion about any of the creation. He didn't say, hey, Curtis, what color should trees be? Didn't ask me one thing. How high was the firmament? He didn't ask me none of that. He didn't ask me how deep the water had to be when he flooded the earth because of sin. He didn't ask my opinion about one thing. You know, he did it all himself. It doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what God thinks. And God says we need to praise him. You want to know the effect of power and praise in Acts chapter 16. This is beautiful. Acts 16. It's when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Now, they're in Ephesus, amen, they're preaching the gospel, all right? And in fact, the town had come up and wanted to worship them, and they said, no, you ain't worshiping me, we serve the one true God. And so everybody got mad at him, started beating him up, threw him in jail, all right? So they are in jail, and not just in jail, but they are in the center of jail, in the deepest, darkest pits of jail, chained up to a wall, naked and beaten and covered in mud, amen? So they're not feeling real good. Amen? Have you ever been in that situation where it looks like the world's beating you to death? Now, I don't think that you've ever been naked and chained to a wall in a prison in Ephesus. All right? But in your financials, all right, in your daily walk with Christ, doesn't it feel like you're being beat on every side from time to time? You know what Paul and Silas did? In the midnight hour, I love this, in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they didn't count them. They're just a bunch of them. They laid many stripes on them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer that he should keep them. Verse 25, and at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God. And then the other prisoners heard them. And then guess what happened? There's a mighty earthquake. The prison doors were broke open. The chains fell off of men's feet. And the prison guard came and said, "Dude, I gotta kill myself." This is ad lib here. He was panicking. He was freaking out because the prisoners should have escaped. Now, I want you to understand this in the spiritual realm, okay? In the spiritual realm, it's more than just being chained to a wall. What were they doing before they went to jail? The right thing, amen? They were preaching the gospel. They were doing what they ought to have done. Did it seem good at the time? Crowd surround you, you're preaching the gospel, they get mad at you, they stone you, they beat you, they throw you in jail. What is your reaction to that? Amen, I was doing the right thing. I don't deserve this. Where? It's not, I don't, where, God doesn't love me because it didn't go my way. That's not how you ought to react if you're fighting the battle. What should we do? Start praising God. And you notice what happened when they started praising God? Satan had no power over them. The chains were broken off of them. The prison doors were opened wide. Why? Because they prayed and they praised God. In the midst of the battle, they didn't give up. They didn't say, wham, poor, poor, pitiful me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. No, they came up before the Lord and they bowed their heads and they worshiped God in the midst of their torment. They worshiped God in the midst of their hurt. And God answered their prayer. You know what? What happened directly after that? The guard, the prison guard came down, saw him. They said, what must I do to be saved? How do I get this power that you had? He said, believe on Jesus Christ and you will be. The guard took them home, washed them. The guard brought the prisoners into his own house, fed them, cleaned their sores. They got up and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to that family. And all of them got saved. Guess what? A whole family entered into the fight. This spiritual warfare that's going around, on even right now. Church, the pressure is building. We don't feel it yet, but our midnight hour is coming. Those folks in the Middle East that are being murdered for their testimony, they're in the spiritual fight. They're standing, they're fighting the good fight of faith. People, we need to get ready. September's coming, okay? September's coming. I don't know what all's going to happen, but the signs are out there that there's going to be some stuff going down real soon. Are you going to be prepared to stand in the fight? What I preach today is considered hate speech in America right now. Do you understand what I said? When I preach the righteousness of God and the sin of the world, this is hate speech. It's not too many months from now that they're going to come and try to tell us we cannot do this anymore. Are you prepared to stand and fight the fight of faith when it's not comfortable? When the economic system crashes and your money is worth dirt, are you going to be prepared to stand and fight the good fight of faith? So you're saying, where's the good news in this? There's great news in this. If the world were Jesus' kingdom, his disciples would have fought. But it's not. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I will call you that you can be with me. Store not your treasures up here on the earth, but put them in heaven, where rust and moth and thief can't break in and destroy. You need to hold on to the garments of Jesus Christ. You need to hold on to charity. Out of all those things it told us to put off, hatred, malice, all that, but hold on to charity, love, goodness, kindness, patience. Yeah, hold on to the things of God. Hold on to the fruit of the Spirit. Love one another, especially when it's hard. It's easy to love when everything's going your way. It's been easy to be a Christian in America because there's been no pressure against you. Oh, but there's coming a pressure. And we need to prepare today for the fight tomorrow. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation for you. Amen? Come to Him. And it's simple. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Amen? And once you get saved, then you better start walking like it. We got enough wishy-washy Christians out there, folks who call Christianity Christianity and live like the world. We got to be holy. You got to be set apart. You got to be prepared for the fight. You don't want a dishonorable discharge. Amen. The military gives those out. You know that? If you don't hold the righteousness of the military code, guess what they do? They kick you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They take away all your rights as a military veteran. You no longer get free health care. Amen? Oh, it's not free. They fought for their health care. I don't discourage anybody who's served their country with valor to receive everything that this country can give them. All right? They deserve it. They stood the line. Now, as a Christian, you're in a battle today. Are you preparing for when the reward comes? You know that there's a day of reward. There's a day where your chief commander is going to call you before him, and he'll either stick a purple heart on your chest or he'll kick you out of the office. Do you know that day's coming? That you will have a reward in Christ or you'll be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Step one, get saved. If you're not saved today, trust. If you've heard the Holy Spirit, you need to trust in Jesus Christ today. All right? If you don't, then you're going to go to hell. When you die, you're going to hell. There's no way around it. All right? If you do trust, if you have trust in Jesus Christ and you're living like the world, well, today you're safe. But remember, there's coming a day where all the books are going to be open and you're going to be judged out of those books. And if you're not found in Christ, you will be kicked out. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And when that day of redemption comes, then you will be judged. You'll be judged faithful, good and true, faithful servant, or you'll be judged as the one who hid his talent under the stone and was kicked out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if you're a Christian, you need to start living like a Christian. Prepare for the fight. If you're not a Christian, it's time to get saved today. Submit to the power of Jesus Christ. The gospel is simple. All right? God became a human because he needed to be a sacrifice for your sin. No priest on the earth can sanctify you of your sin. It took a perfect human. That's why God became flesh. He lived for 33 years perfectly. Amen. Without sin. He took his perfect body, his perfect frame, his perfect blood, and he went to a cross on Calvary. And he willingly poured that blood out so that you, the unrighteous, nasty, corrupt sinner, could be made white as snow through his sacrifice. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave to prove that everything he said was right. Either you believe that or you don't. It's very black or white. If you don't believe it, then you'll be held accountable. You will go to hell. If you do believe it and you don't live like it, you will be held accountable and you will go to hell. If you believe it and you live like it, you will be held accountable and he'll say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Father." Choice is yours. The Word of God is not far from you. It's close. It's right in your mouth. You've heard it today. And either you will trust Jesus Christ or you will not trust Jesus Christ. I can't say any more, any less. I don't know why God has me in sermons like this. I don't have a good way to quit. I have nothing else to say. The rest belongs to you. Either you will trust him or you will deny him. I ain't going to call you. I don't need to see your hand if you trust him or not. Because you're not written in my book of life. You're written in the Lamb's book of life. But Jesus did say this, "If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the angels who are in heaven. Did you hear that? So it's up to you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Dear Father, we do love you. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and your righteousness. God, I pray that your word has entered into the heart of man today. Father, I pray that you have opened up the stopped up ears and that you've opened up the eyes of those who are blinded, that you've cast away the darkness out of people's hearts today. Father, I pray that the ones who are born again, that you have prepared us for the fight, God, that we would be ready to preach your word in season and out of season, able to give every man an answer. Fill your church, fill your body, fill your people with your spirit today. Father, help us to go forward into the battle, willing to walk in your righteousness. Father, we thank you for that. For those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today that have trusted you, Father, I just pray that you would anoint them. Help them to seek you out. Let them get into your word. Bring them back tonight for the rest of the story. And we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.